Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today, we're going to review a column that was written by our friend, Dennis Rulojo from PsychReg. However, the article doesn't come from PsychReg. It actually comes from the Psych Learning Curve from the American Psychological Association.
A new new experience here.
You know what? Thank you. Because I had not heard of this site before. It is a website that the American Psychological Association has that connects psychology with education, and so it's they have some great articles here.
Right. Probably out of division. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Ed Psych 15, I think.
I don't know.
16 is school psych. I think it's 15 is Ed Psych, but we're typically not a part of that.
Right.
We do clinical in school, so it's probably a part of that. But real, helpful and a website.
Yeah.
Good articles and good ideas.
Yeah, so this article was published earlier in October of this month. And it is all about five ways, or it's titled, Five Ways to Make Learning More Meaningful to Students. And I think that this is really important, not just for teachers and how they can make learning more meaningful in school, but a lot of these principles are really good for parents teaching their kids.
Parents of young children or middle schoolers, elementary school age kids.
Yeah.
It's things that college students can use
on
their own. And we should say that Dan lives in the UK,
right.
Lives in England. And so some of this is applicable or directly addresses the English school system,
right.
School system in the UK, but certainly is applicable here because the principles that he's talking about here are part of a larger set of principles that have been promulgated by APA since about 1990.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's go through these 5 points that he highlights and talk a little bit about them. So the first one is to work to make the content as meaningful as possible.
Right.
And I think that that is the number one complaint that we hear, especially from high school students, that, you know, when am I ever going to use this in the real world?
Right.
And I think that because they don't see that application, the applicability of some of this material to the real world, it doesn't have as much meaning to them.
We hear it, although most of us made that complaint. We typically make it in algebra class, and we say, well, I don't know how this would. It's not supposed to be immediately relevant. I mean, there are some things that are not immediately relevant. You have to build on them. You'll see it. You'll see the applicability later.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to convince students of is that there are some things, learning the multiplication tables in elementary school, learning algebra in high school, or chemistry. No, it's not going to be immediately applicable, but it is important information for you to learn.
Right.
Okay. It has a place in the curriculum. Not everything is immediately applicable.
Right.
And we have to get our students through that. But most of what we present in school could be immediately meaningful and applicable to students. And I think that's where we're missing the boat.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he mentions this first.
Absolutely. And I think that it was a couple of years ago when, because I coach a high school aged soccer team. A couple of years ago, all of my players were in Algebra 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one evening at a practice, one of the players was complaining, you know, when am I, you know, they're struggling with algebra, and said, when am I ever going to use this? And one of the parents of a player is a police officer, and he said, you know, crash scenes from like car accidents, he says, that's all I use is algebra. I don't know what the formulas are, what they do, or anything like that. I'm assuming that they have to use certain data to fill in missing variables to figure out how fast somebody was going based upon the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you can tie meaning to some of these principles in that way, it makes it much more engaging and much more interesting to the students. So, you know, anytime you can make the content more meaningful, it's going to help.
Right.
The second thing is adopt a student-centered approach. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a fascinating idea.
That's the big one. And that came out of the 1990. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make it, they call it learner-centered.
Right.
This is student-centered. And back in the as far back as the 1990s, psychologists were beginning to say, let's make learning more learner-centered instead mm-hmm. of teacher-centered.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's addressing here.
Yeah. And there were, 20 principles associated with that.
Right.
And we talked about it in this past weekend's podcast. Right. We went through those. And so if you want to hear more about that, just look at the podcast right before this one. We went into some of those details with that centered approach. Mm-hmm. The third thing is promote self-knowledge. Again, I like the idea of encouraging students to want to learn, that your knowledge, that your learning is your responsibility, but it's also, you're going to get more out of it when you put more into it.
That's right. And also, learning about yourself. I mean, most of what we do in school is applicable to us personally.
Right.
All of our science classes certainly are. Mm-hmm. I mean, you and I have always said, what could be more interesting than learning about the human body?
Right.
Or about the brain?
I mean, it
is who we are.
Right.
And but most subjects can be turned into that. History, for example, can be made relevant.
Right.
Because all of us have a history. Our families come from somewhere. And if you make it meaningful to students and help them understand how the curriculum relates to them personally, there's intrinsic motivation. Then it has some meaning.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. When you can tie it together, and again, it kind of goes back to making it meaningful.
Right.
But also the idea that one of the things I tell my graduate students all the time is that we have a finite amount of time in this class. There is no way that we're going to cover everything mm-hmm. that you need to know on this topic, whether it's research or it's psychodiagnostics or it's psychopharmacology or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's no way that we're going to be able to cover everything. It is your responsibility, therefore, mm-hmm. to get the most out of it. And you get the most out of it by sort of driving yourself to gain more knowledge and to learn mm-hmm. more and to expose yourself to more. That's real life.
Yeah, in the history of our country, people say, I hate history. It's boring and dry and everything. But, most of us came from somewhere, and wouldn't be interesting mm-hmm. to say, oh, my family came at this time. Well, what was happening at that time? Was it the Mayflower? Was mm-hmm. it the Revolutionary mm-hmm. period? Was your family here? My family wasn't even on the continent in the Civil War.
Yeah.
Okay. But they did come during the Industrial Revolution, which makes the Industrial Revolution personally meaningful for me. Mm-hmm. This is when my grandfather came here, and he worked in those factories. So anything can be made relevant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the fourth thing is to bring the real world to your classroom. And we certainly do that in our graduate courses that we teach, because they are the closest to actual practicing clinicians.
Right.
But even to undergraduate classes, and you can do mm-hmm. the same thing to high school or middle school or elementary school classes, you can bring the real world into the classroom. Again, it makes it meaningful. It makes that connection, but it actually allows the students to see it functioning.
That's right. And I think that enhances the first three, mm-hmm. is that if you can bring the real world and see how it relates to the real world today, mm-hmm. I think you enhance the previous three.
Right. And I like that he mentions in here, the importance of using things like podcasts and documentaries and mm-hmm. YouTube has a wealth of information. Yeah. On there, you can see video clips of just about anything on YouTube now.
That's right.
So,
recent discovery for me, of course, but I teach that class on learning theory, and they have all the videos of all those experiments of mm-hmm. rats getting their feet shocked and going for the cocaine and the drugs and all that. All that's on video now. You have a video of B.F. Skinner doing his experiments, which enliven the class mm-hmm. and make it real.
Yeah. The little Albert
studies.
You can see the actual videos.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Alarming. Yes.
It's creepy.
I'm glad they We're not allowed to do that kind of thing anymore.
Except for with your kids. You can,
right, with your own children.
You can scare them if you want to. Don't do that. All right. but bringing the real world into the classroom is really good. The fifth thing, the last thing here, is to share knowledge and resources. Right. And, you know, we don't really... I don't think that teachers, whether they're in grade school or in college and graduate school, or even parents, understand the wealth of resources that they are connected to,
right,
that they could use to connect their kids to or their students to. Mm-hmm. You know, letting them know about, you know, different listservs or different websites, right, or, you know, resources that are out there to help enhance their knowledge.
That's right.
We need to share that.
That's right. And this sort of goes with number two, the student-centered approach, mm-hmm, because learning today is very different than it was a generation ago. Yeah. There was a time when the teacher had the knowledge, right, and imparted it to students. Today, that's changing. We all have access to knowledge, yeah, because of the internet. Mm-hmm. But we want to share that knowledge with each other. There's a thing called peer tutoring. Mm-hmm. You know, and many parents say, well, I don't want my children functioning as a teacher. Right. I do want my children, yeah, functioning as a teacher. That's sharing knowledge. And we're all in this journey together.
Right.
There's no reason to, yeah, compete with each other anymore. Yeah. The way the internet works is it's shared information. It's, yeah, it's free and shared. Well, and that's how learning is occurring today.
And the research suggests cooperative learning groups is the best way for students, right, to learn because... Well, you know, in graduate and medical school, you know, what they teach us is, you know, see one, do one, teach one.
Right.
And so you see it done, you do it yourself. Mm-hmm. But the real learning comes when you have to teach somebody else how to do it.
That's
and
that's, right,
that really requires you to have a real functional appreciation, mm-hmm, of it.
Right.
And then there's other resources, like I often tell parents about things like the Khan Academy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great resource for students, mm-hmm, who are struggling with math.
Right.
They break everything down, like from
really
elementary
simple
math all the way through, you know, differential equations. I mean, it's all
level
there.
Right.
And it's broken down just in exactly the same way that it's presented in, mm-hmm, in books, you know, sort of in those same units with lots of examples, lots of demonstrations.
Right.
It's great resources. And all of those resources are out there. We just have to get our kids connected to it.
That's right. They have reading, mm-hmm, reading rockets and different sites for reading. So there's plenty of knowledge out there, but we have to keep informing each other, mm-hmm, about where it is and, yeah, what exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So those five things, I completely agree with this site, that, mm-hmm, those five things are really good ways to help, you know, make learning more meaningful to students, make it where students are more engaged and they're much more likely to learn.
And more motivated.
Yeah.
You know, we want to encourage intrinsic motivation, and using these five techniques or strategies as a way of enhancing intrinsic motivation.
Absolutely.
Because they'll want to learn if it's relevant.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If it makes sense to them, they'll want to learn.
They'll want to learn, right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is it for today.
Okay.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.